verse tonight. And here the Apostle Peter, in writing in 1 Peter chapter 1, is revealing the greatness of our salvation, which is by the wonderful grace of our God that looked upon us. You know, it says in the Bible, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And people look at that and they say, yeah, well, God saw something good in Noah. Well, that's not what grace means. When it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that means not that God found something good in Noah, but that God had something good to give to Noah. Don't misunderstand that statement. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God deigned to show him grace. And if God has shown you his grace, and his grace is teaching you, as we said last Wednesday, you are truly blessed. And you should praise him for that. And so Peter proceeded to talk about his wonderful grace. In verse 5, he's been talking about the power of God. And he's been talking about the power released in your life to draw you to faith in Christ. And he said that same power of God is active in your life now. And it's similar to what Paul said in Philippians 1:6. There, the Apostle Paul talking about the power of God active in your life. He said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, it's God that began the work in you. You didn't start it. God started it in you. You praise God that he began that work. What work is that? The work of faith. That he drew you to believe and gave you that gospel, and you believed, and that was God working to bring you to Christ, and he began that good work in your life. Do you remember when he began that work and saved you, and now you can praise him because he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. That's eternal security. That's perseverance of the saints. That is saying that God's power that drew you to faith in Christ and began that work in your life, when you found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that power is still working in your life and will work in your life right up until the day of Christ Jesus. And you know the day of Christ Jesus, that is the day Jesus comes back in the clouds and sends his angels to catch us up, to meet him in the air, and will ever be with the Lord. That's the grace of God and the power of God, that he's not going to lose one of you that he's begun that good work in your life. And that's what Paul said, but Peter's saying in chapter 1, verse 5, he's saying a similar thing. He's saying, of you who have been saved by God tonight, he's saying, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, what salvation? One of the men tell me, what salvation in 1 Peter 1, 5, and by the way, we're not preaching on this verse tonight, but 1 Peter 1, 5, it says that you are kept by the power of God, kept saved, kept going, you are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What salvation is he talking about there? One of the men.
The resurrection of being bought by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, final salvation. Final salvation. When's our final salvation? When the Lord returns and we are glorified. When your body gets saved. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. Your body is not yet saved. Your soul is saved. Your body is not saved. Your body is subject to death. Your body is subject to sin. And your body is something that can sin or not sin. And you need through the Spirit to make sure your body does not sin. And you don't listen to the body when it misleads you, that you know the difference. You know, sometimes I get hungry and sometimes I just lust for food. You know, like Esau, I gotta have it. If I don't get it, get out of my way. You know, I'm hungry. And you gotta make your body do what God wants it to do, because your body's not saved yet, but you're saved. And you have the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in your spirit, and your soul is being saved, and your soul and spirit are in a new realm, but your body is still subject to lust and to sin. And so you're kept, though. You're still kept in spite of that. In spite of all that, you're kept saved until final salvation. That's what Brother Matthew just answered. He says, and I'll read it again. He says in verse 6, Peter says in verse 1, wherein ye greatly, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Final salvation. When your body's saved, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, when's that final salvation going to take? Happen? It's going to happen in the last time. It's going to happen during Daniel's 70th week. It's going to happen after the beginning of sorrows and the great tribulation. It's going to happen just before the day of the Lord. It's going to happen when Christ comes back in the clouds and we hear the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And until that day, listen to me, you are, if you've received God's grace, you are being kept in a state of grace. I said you're being kept in a state of grace. Praise God for that. You know, we have people sometimes, they go on church discipline, then they're removed from church membership and treated as a tax collector. I wouldn't want to be in that place. I want to know that I'm being kept. And that's not eternal security so much as the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I like to say it's the perseverance of the Savior. Because he's the one that told Peter, he said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. When your faith doesn't fail and the power of God continues to work in your life, it's not so much because of you. It's because Jesus is praying for you. And that's one of the doctrines of grace. The perseverance of the saints. And praise God for that. And then verse 6 gets a little closer to where we're going tonight. In fact, I'm going to take the scripture from that verse to preach on. Here's what it says. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, he's talking about you rejoice in the fact of final salvation is coming. Amen. You rejoice that's coming. But that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Do you rejoice in your final salvation? But that's just introduction. What am I preaching on tonight? Tonight, I'm preaching on verse 6, the second part of it. And I'm lifting out of that verse just a phrase tonight. And I'm going to read the phrase that I'm calling your attention to. It says in verse 6, though, go to the word though, T-H-O-U-G-H, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. And the name of my message tonight is, ye are in heaviness. Now, every word's important. I didn't say ye are heavy. No, I said ye are in heaviness. That is the message. Isn't that what he's saying here? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. What is ye? You plural. You plural. I think of the time Patty's parents came and I preached on ye are heavy. That was the name. No, I didn't. I don't know if that was the name of my message. But anyway, that's another story. But ye are in heaviness. And I want to give you three things about this tonight from that phrase, textual message. You know, every word in the Bible is important.
Right.
I was talking to my daughter, Mindy, about this. She was talking about a tape, YouTube, called The Road to Babylon. She said that tape helped to convince me that the King James Bible is the preserved every word Bible. And we were talking about every word being important. And it says, ye are in heaviness if need be through the manifold temptations that you're going through. I want to say, first of all, tonight, ye are in heaviness because of the reality of it. Ye are in heaviness because of the reality. Notice what it says there. It says, ye are in heaviness. Now, the word ye are is in the Greek language. I studied this. It's what's called the present indicative active. It means that right now, actively, you are experiencing heaviness in your life. And it's not pleasant. It's a real experience. It's going on in your life, and you're experiencing some heaviness in your life. It means something or someone is weighing on your emotions. It means that you may be feeling sad tonight. In spite of the fact of what I preached about being saved, in spite of the fact that God's grace will keep you, in spite of the fact that the rapture's coming and we rejoice in heaven, you are in heaviness tonight. Or you will be in heaviness. And it doesn't mean that you're not saved because you're in this heaviness. I used to have a guy that announced the Michigan games, and he would say sometime, their daubers are down, whatever daubers were. He'd say, their daubers are down. And sometimes our daubers are down. We're in heaviness. And people will say to me sometimes, how you doing, Pastor Bloom? And I say, gloriously, but in a mortal body. And that in a mortal body says it all. Ye are in heaviness. I'm literally in heaviness tonight. I put a vest on because I ate so much today. I am literally in heaviness. I asked my wife, I lusted for food. I said, I want to have a lumberjack breakfast. And she gave me a lumberjack breakfast. And that thing just wadded up and stayed in my stomach. And then I had a birthday party, and I was going to celebrate it with somebody. And I had to eat another bunch of food at a buffet. And I said, oh, my. And then after that, I had ice cream cake. So I am literally in heaviness tonight. And I am ready for my fast day. I need a fast day. Amen. I thank God I'm not like other men. I fast 3 times a week. But anyway, I'm in heaviness tonight. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about you are in emotional heaviness. You are feeling low emotionally, drained emotionally. Doesn't mean that you don't rejoice. Doesn't mean that you are not saved. It just means that you're feeling it because it's a reality. You're in heaviness. Can you relate to that? This week, this month, this past year, you're in heaviness. And that is the reality of it. It may be someone has hurt your feelings. It may be you're feeling heavy because somebody, you know, we can hurt one another's feelings, or somebody can hurt our feelings, and that can, it's real, you know. It may mean you've got some physical hurt. It may mean you've got some disappointments in your life, and you're disappointed. Maybe you got up for something, and then you crashed, and it went down, right? You're in heaviness. Peter's recognizing that we are, you know, living in mortal bodies, and we're subject to this. Maybe you like Peter, who took his sword out, remember, and he cut a guy's ear off, and he hurt that guy, and maybe someone, you hurt somebody, and you're feeling bad that you hurt them. It doesn't mean you're not a good Christian if you feel heavy for one reason or another. You're still under God's grace, and you still are under God's love, though you may feel heavy tonight. The sun is still shining tonight, though the clouds may be in the sky. I was so glad to see the sun today, Brother Eric. I saw a little bit of it last night when I took my mountain walk. You know, I was glad to see it, but today I was glad to see it in its full glory. It was just out. I said, wow, this is the early fall in northeastern Pennsylvania. It's sunny. And so just because you're in heaviness, just because your sky is clouded up tonight and you can't see the sun, you don't feel the sun, it's still there, even though you're in heaviness. And when you are feeling heavy and you're too heavy, you feel like you're too heavy to carry on. It's at a time like that, God isn't forsaken you. Amen. He'll carry you. Amen. When you can't carry on, he'll carry you. I'm saying to you tonight, you are in heaviness. That is a reality. And you can face the reality of that and know that God's grace is still operating in your life. And number two, you are in heaviness because of the temporality of it. And by temporality, I mean it's temporary. It's temporary. You say, well, Pastor, that's great. Is this just a pep talk or is this the Word of God? No, I'm preaching a textual message. Look at verse 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if be need be, ye are in heaviness. That's in the text. And then it says, for a season. That's temporary, right? It's seasonal. Listen to me. Thank God that heaviness isn't all the time. Now, some people, it's more than others. But it's not all the time that you need to be in heaviness. But there are times it is seasonal. I lived in Florida for a while. And I don't know about in the Philippines, Brother Elgin and Joanne. But do you guys have a rainy season in the Philippines? Of course, they say yes, they do. I figured as much. Why? Because it's a tropical part of the Philippines. Florida is a tropical climate because I lived in South Florida. In South Florida, you know, Florida is like subtropical in the north, but tropical in the south, tropical climate. And so I lived in South Florida. I remember having a lime tree as we came out the door and a lemon tree, and we'd make lemonade, limeade, do the lawn and pick up mangoes, you know. And it's a tropical climate. But in September, it's the rainy season. A lot of rain in Florida in the month of September for a couple weeks. It's the rainy season. And Florida is the sunshine state. Normally it's sunny and they have, you know, a little bit of rain, then it, boom, it just goes away and you have sun showers. But in the rainy season, there's a little more rain, you know. So I'm glad for the sunny days, but I'm just saying that it's seasonal. It's seasonal. Just like we had rain, didn't we? What caused that rain? Some people would think, well, why are we so rainy in October? Well, you know what it was. It was a hurricane. And it was sitting off the coast around North Carolina and so on. And it was bringing all these clouds in and all this rain in. But listen, it's seasonal. It was temporary. It's gone. This is stereotypical, the sunny days. And what God is saying here is that you are in heaviness. The reality of it, yes, you experience it. But listen, it's not going to continue. It's temporary. You're going to get through it. I remember my brother, he was in a terrible time in his life decades ago. It was so bad that my brother and sister-in-law came to live with us with the family. My brother was going through what was called endogenous depression. It was a chemical depression. He's a believer, loved the Lord, but it was so terrible, physical depression, that was not cured emotionally. It could not be cured with spiritual counsel. It was endogenous depression. And he had to come to live with us. I had to be with him 24/7 at that time. You say, why? Because you'd go by a mud puddle and he'd want to jump in the mud puddle and suck up the water. Because it was hell on earth. You see, have you ever been with somebody in that place? I was there. And remembered that. And he wrote a book about it, and I'm in that book, but it was a terrible time. A book called Broken Minds. But anyway, he went through that depression. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that when he called me, when he was coming down with this before I got with him, I remember saying to him, and it probably meant nothing to him at the time, but I remember saying to him, Steve, I said, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I said, you are walking through a valley of the shadow of death. I said, you feel like it's death, but it's not death. You feel like it's hell, but it's not hell, because you're saved and the good shepherd is leading you through a valley. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you're going through this valley, but I know on the other side of that valley, there's light. You're going through a tunnel, but you're going to come out of that tunnel. And you know what? Thank God that there's no heaviness that we go through that's permanent. And even in this life, God gives us breaks. You know, I think of a fighter. He a lot of times a fighter, when he's putting it out there, he thanks God for the bell, end of round 15 or whatever. Now it's 12 rounds or 10 rounds. You know, they don't fight like they used to fight 52 rounds. If you see the old fights, it was crazy. But anyway, they're thankful for the bell, you know. Give me a rest. Give me a break, you know. And I'm so glad God gives me breaks. He knows I need it. Amen. And you're in heaviness, but it's temporary. The temporality of it. Yes, it's real. There is a reality to it, but it's temporary. And it's seasonal. Seasonal. Now, we live in northeastern Pennsylvania. And it's tough to go through the winter. Don't you find that, Joanne and Elgin? You go through the winter up here. And some people, they all want to move to Florida. Amen? How many want to go to... No, I'm just kidding. They're all raising their hand. But I remember moving up here in November. And it was cold up here. But you know what I've learned? I've learned to embrace the seasons. I enjoy the fall and the good things of fall. I enjoy the summer. I enjoy the spring, and I can embrace that. Now, the winter, I've learned to deal with the winter. First of all, I can take the winter through Christmas and through my birthday in January. But when you get into end of January, February, I'm tired of it. How many can identify with that? Yeah. And, you know, you're in heaviness. Through the manifold blasts of winter. Isaac, I got to warn you, it's coming. Amen. I just got to brace yourself, all right? You say, well, how do you deal with it? I always take January 15th to February 15th, and I say that's the very icebox of it. That's the heart of it. And if I can get through that 1 month, January 15th through February 15th, beyond the Groundhog Day, which is, I think, the second. I got to go beyond all the way to the 15th, January 15th to February 5th. Once I'm through that, I now know spring is coming, man. It's only just about a month away now. For real, real spring is coming. And that helps me to get through it. And in the meantime, get a good coat, a scarf, hat, warmth. I turn the heat on in the house, you know, all that. But all I'm saying to you is, you're going to have to deal with heaviness. Ye are in heaviness, he said. Ye are in heaviness. That's the reality. Ye are in heaviness for a season. That's the temporality of it. And you can get through it with the grace of God. And don't lose your head in the midst of it. Keep your head, knowing, yes, it's part of the reality of the mortal body. And keeping your head because it's temporal and temporary. And you're going to go out of it and get on, thank God, on the other side of it. Number three. And last, you are in heaviness because of the necessity of it. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. If need be. You say, somebody hurt my feelings. You say, I'm suffering from it. Maybe it's a Christian in the church. You're hurting. You needed it. You say, no, I didn't need that. They just did. God allowed it for a purpose. You say, how do you know? It says it. I don't know why you have to be hurt. I don't know why you had to go through that. But I'm saying God knows, or he would have stopped it. He allowed it. And that helps you not to be so offended at people in circumstances and happenstances. If you know the Lord let it happen to you, why did the Lord let it happen to you? Sometimes it's a message. Old pastor hurt me. I didn't mean to. But sometimes I do. Not in a bad way, like a surgeon. You know, when a dentist or a doctor will cut you to take something out. I'll do that. If need be, you're in heaviness. You see? God knows what you need. God knows what I need. That's why when you come to hear preaching, some people don't like to come to a King James Bible believing Bible preaching church because the guy up there operates with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're here to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit using the surgical knife of the Word of God. And yeah, it blesses you, right? It helps you if you let it do its work. And so if need be, you're in heaviness and perhaps God is not just doing it in church or letting somebody hurt your feelings or maybe it's a financial trouble, maybe it's a physical weakness, maybe it's hurt feelings, maybe it's pain in your body, but it's necessary, it's temporal, it's temporary, it's necessary. And beloved, it is real. It's a reality in your life. And so you may rejoice in your great salvation, yet your all-wise God has chosen to put his great treasure in your earthen vessel that all the praise would go to God. The excellency of the power would go to God. How many of you read in the book of Acts about Cornelius? Did you notice where Cornelius was going to worship Peter? And you notice how quickly Peter set him straight. But Cornelius, no, you know what? If Peter hadn't endured some heaviness here, maybe he wouldn't set Cornelius so quickly straight. You know what I'm saying? Your heaviness humbles you. And when you would be lifted up with pride because of the, you know, all sunshine makes what?
Desert.
All sunshine makes what? You need the rain, you need the heaviness, and you need the humbling, and you need the hard times. They're not enjoyable, they don't make you feel good, but they're necessary. And so I'm just talking about the necessity of it. I'm talking about the temporality of it. I'm talking about heaviness in the sense of that. And it's necessary to test you as well. Not only to humble you and show you God's in control, but to test you. The word for temptations here in verse 6, notice that, through manifold temptations, that word is not so much a solicitation to do evil by Satan. The word there is testings. Now, we have our college going, and I was sitting in on the pastoral ed class, the advanced class, and the teacher was talking about tests. Amen? And you expect some tests in class? Amen. No, it's not going to happen. You know, you expect to be tested. Now, when you are saved, you're a disciple of Jesus, guess what? You're enrolled in the University of Jesus. Your textbook is the Bible. And your classroom is life. And guess who the teacher is? The Lord. You think he's going to test you? Sure he is. I remember Brother Joe, never forgot it, going through that trial and test I went through some years ago. We had a Christian school, and I remember that my wife warned me. She said, I don't know about this couple running the Christian school. You shouldn't really delegate a Christian school maybe to them. I said, no, it'll be all right. She was right. And I remember the wife, it went to her head. She started thinking she ran the school. And pretty soon she was trying to run the church. And guess what? Everybody was listening to her because their kids were in the school. And I was like, oh, mercy. This is not a good situation. So I did what I did. I got up and started preaching. I said, I'll tear this school down if this becomes the dog that wags the tail. And in my inevitable way, people ran and got out, and the school came down. Well, it didn't come down. It handed over to me. We took it. I'd rather do that, you see, than see the church run by a woman. And I'm just saying to you, I got into that situation there, and I remember going through it, and I was in heaviness after that happened because I lost some good stuff. And our church suffered, and I suffered. But you got to take the heat. And when you go through heaviness, don't jump out of the kitchen like a fool. Stay in the kitchen. And I was down there kind of suffering. And Brother Joe was down there with me. And I remember that time. Remember, I stood up to all the deacons and gave them a big sermon. And the assistant pastor at the time, Brother James, and Joe, you were there. I just gave that. I read everybody the riot act, didn't I? And Brother Joe stayed, and he stayed with the stuff. But I remember I was down there, and I was feeling it. And Brother Joe said to me, he said, "Pastor, it's just a test. It's just a test." And you know what? You're in heaviness right now, whatever you're being tested by or whatever you're going through. It's just a test. If need be, it's necessary to test you, to test your character. And by the way, if you pass the test, Jesse, you're an Old Testament survey, amen. If you pass the test, guess what? You can go on, and if you get fully enrolled and you pass the test and you graduate, you'd graduated, and he's helping me out greatly with the God. You graduate, it opens a door, and now he's a pastor. And you go to that next level, amen. I remember when I graduated from college and got my bachelor's, my master's, it opened doors. But I'm talking in life to you now. These are necessary tests that you're going through. And so the name of the message is, ye are in heaviness. It's a reality in the Christian life. But it's a temporality. You'll have your sunshine. You'll have, yes, your rainy days. It's temporary. But, and number three, it's a necessity to humble you and to keep you where God is number one. And you realize that. And number two, that you can be tested and pass the test and go through that and stay with the stuff when other people may be running out. And you stay with it. And guess what? The Bible said patience has its perfect work in you, and you become complete, the Bible says, and entire, what, lacking nothing. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And I'll just give you one more verse and I'll be done. And that verse is in James 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." He's talking about tests in your Christian walk. "For when he is tried," listen, "he shall receive the crown of life." You know what the crown of life is? Your resurrection body. When you're done with the trials of this life and you have proven through them that you're a Peter, not a Judas. I said, when you've proven going through them by God's grace that you're a Peter, not a Judas, you're going to receive the crown of a resurrection body with which the Lord has promised to them that really are in it because of the love of God. They love God. Yeah. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed.